Welcome to Parshas Hashavu with Rabbi Gerari. This week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas. Also, towards the end of the week, we have the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, where we begin the period of 3 weeks of mourning for the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, both the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. And most times, Parshas Pinchas is read during the 3 weeks, and we have to understand what is the connection. Before we do all that, let's have a look at the very beginning of the Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha is actually a continuation from last week. It's got to do with the story that at the end of the story with Balak and Bilam, when Bilam was unsuccessful in cursing the Jewish nation, Balak was very upset. Rashi tells us that Bilam said to Balak, "Look, I know the strategy to weaken the Jewish people. I can't say anything that Hashem doesn't want me to say, but I'll give you a plan. The plan is that the God of these people hates immorality. Why don't you unleash the girls, the daughters of Midian, let them go and entice the boys of the Jewish people, persuade them to serve idols, pagan worship, but also to live with them and be intimate with them and to be immoral." And a plague broke out, and Pinchas ben Elazar, who was the grandson of Aaron HaKohen, stood up, decided to stand up for what's right when there was a public display of immorality between the leader of Shimon and a princess known as Cosby Bastur from Midian, and they publicly were intimate with each other. And we were just publicizing the whole transgression, especially as a leader of the Jewish people. Pinchas ben Elazar took matters in his own hand after he consulted with Moshe Rabbeinu and said, "Isn't there a law that if someone lives with a Midianis, a Midianite, non-Jewish girl in public, that those who are zealous for Hashem may take matters into their own hand and finish them off?" So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Listen, why do you, if you bring us up, fulfill it yourself?" Eventually, Pinchas did, at great danger to himself. He stood up, killed both Zimri and Cosby, and the plague stopped. Beginning of this week's parasha begins with Hashem rewarding Pinchas. And Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, "Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen." Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, he returned, he appeased my anger against the Jewish people, and I didn't end up destroying the Jewish nation. Lochin Emorloi, therefore tell him, therefore say to him, "Hinini noisin lois brisi shalom," I'm giving him a covenant of peace. What was the gift that Hashem gave Pinchas? So interestingly enough, although Pinchas came from Aaron HaKohen, but he was alive, or he was already born when Hashem made Aaron and his sons a Kohen, and therefore Pinchas himself wasn't going to be a Kohen. But when the story happened, Hashem rewarded him to become a Kohen as well. We know Kohen and Shalom are connected because we know that the Kabbalistic, we know the Kohanim are a people of chesed, of kindness. Aaron, a Kohen, of course, was the person who loved people, pursued peace, loved peace, and so on and so forth. Rashi, on the first pasuk, mentions, and it's obvious what's bothering Rashi, and that is why Hashem had to say that Pinchas was the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. He says the following, I'll say it in English. He says that the tribes, the people of Israel, started to mock Pinchas and say, "Look, did you see? Ben Putizeh means one of the grandfathers, one of the ancestors of Pinchas was Yisrei. You see, this person who comes from Yisrei, who is also called Puti, one of his names. Shepiteim Avi Imoy, the father of his mother, fattened up calves for idol worship." As we know, Yisrei was a great pagan worshiper before he became a convert, right? In other words, this is a guy, who does he think he is? And he took matters in his own hands. The fikach bo hakosuv, that's why the pasuk comes and says, no, don't forget, he's Aaron HaKohen's son. He's a son of a tzaddik, he's a grandson of a tzaddik, he comes from really, really good stock. So we need to understand, what does all this mean? What do you mean he comes from Yisrael, he comes from Aaron? Also, there's a very strange phrase here in Rashi. The strange phrase is that it seems like the Rashi reads that they were making fun of him because he comes from an idol worshiper. And therefore we say, no, he was actually a great tzaddik because he comes from Aaron HaKohen. But Rashi doesn't say that they were mocking him because he came from an idol worshiper. Rashi uses a detail of idol worship, and he says, "Did you see this person who comes from his grandfather, who fattened up calves for Avodah Zarah? He made them fat to have good sacrifices for Avodah Zarah, and he's going to do this? Why can't I just say simply that they made fun of him, saying, 'Look at this person who came from Yisrael who served idols'? Why we need this whole long-winded description that he fattened calves for pagan worship?" But here lies the whole story, and this is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains in a talk, a most beautiful idea in this Rashi. They knew that it doesn't matter if you come from Avodah Zarah or not. Who cares who his grandfather was? We don't judge a person by his grandfather or his great-grandfather. Avraham Avinu came from Terach, an idol worship also. And he became Avraham Avinu, the great tzaddik Avraham Avinu. That's not the issue. They knew better than that to mock Pinchas because he came from Yisrael, who served idols. Don't forget, before he came from Yisrael, Yisrael did tshuva. Yisrael reconnected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael became a big tzaddik, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. But they were concerned about something else. They were pointing at another thing. They were saying, do we know that when Pinchas stood up and killed Zimri and Cosby, were his motives completely pure? And maybe not. Maybe he was just had a streak of cruelty. Why do we say that, said the people? Because his grandfather fattened calves for Avodah Zarah. Now, to fatten an animal just to kill them as a sacrifice is an act of cruelty. It's an insensitivity to the animal. It's not easy. It's not that humane to fatten up calves and then just shech them for Avodah Zarah. They were saying maybe he's got in his DNA some cruelty. Maybe Yisrael comes from Yisrael. He obviously had a bit of a cruel streak to him that he was able to do that to animals. Maybe Pinchas had that as well. And that's why we are disrespecting him, because who does he think he is to come and do that? Now, let's understand that. I'm just going to veer off the clock from the Rebbe for one moment and just explain something. We know that in general, a person does a mitzvah. It doesn't really matter how pure and the motives are. Someone asks you for tzedakah, and you do giving it because you have rachmanis, or you this, that, and the other. It's not 100% for the mitzvah. Who cares? Or even if you're giving it to get a bit of kavod, get a bit of honor, doesn't matter, just do it. Because ultimately, you do a mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. And if you're doing it, just get it done. We have us even learning Torah. We learn, the Rambam tells us clearly from Chazal, that la'olam, a person should always learn Torah, even if it's not for Torah lishma, even if it's not for the pure motives, because you'll come to pure motives. Just start learning in the meantime. Which is all true, but there's one exception. When it comes to something harsh, something which is moral and important, like standing up for evil, hating evil, shaming evil, which is actually a moral thing to do. It's a virtue. But when it comes to something like that, which will inevitably hurt someone else, your motives need to be clear. Your motives need to be pure. It has to be clear that you're doing this for Hashem, not for your own expression of cruelty or harshness or negative personality, because then it's not a mitzvah. To give tzedakah to someone, to learn Torah, to do a mitzvah, even if your motives aren't pure, at least you're doing a good thing. But when you're hurting someone, which sometimes you need to do, you have to make sure that you're doing it for the right reason. Doing it because you're just not a nice person doesn't make it a mitzvah. Now, Pinchas did it for the sake of Hashem. We know that, and we'll soon see why, coming back to this Rashi. But I want to share with you a quick vort I once heard from an uncle of mine. And he told me the following. He says, if you look at last week's parasha, when Pinchas actually killed Zimri and Cosby, there's a very interesting wording in the pasuk. The pasuk says, Vayar Pinchas. Pinchas saw. He saw what was happening, and then he went and took a spear in his hand. Vayar Pinchas saw, Vayikach Roimach Biyoda, and he took a spear in his hand and eventually went to kill him. So my uncle said the following. He said, why does the Torah have to emphasize that? He saw what was happening and then he went and took a spear. Who cares how he killed him, and who cares when he took the spear? But he said the answer is very simple. There are some people that walk around with a spear constantly, which means they're always looking who to criticize, who to judge, who to shtech, as we say in Yiddish. That wasn't Pinchas. That was a mistake. The rest of the people got it wrong. Pinchas was not cruel at all. He didn't have a spear. He had no intention. He had no desire to hurt other people at all, on any level. But when he saw what was happening and there was a desecration of Hashem's name and it was a chilul Hashem, then vayikach reimach b'yodoy. Then he took a spear in his hand, and that was a sign that his motives were pure. But how does the pasuk show that? So this is the point. The Shvatim were criticizing Pinchas, saying, who is this guy I think he is? He came from Yisroi, Puti, who fattened calves. Maybe he just has a cruel streak. That's why he did it. Says the pasuk, no. Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aharon HaKoyin. He came, his lineage, his DNA, his personality comes from Aharon. Because Aharon, we know, was Oyev Shalom v'Roidev Shalom. Aharon was all about love and pursuing peace. That was Aharon. And that was Pinchas. And therefore the Torah testifies that his DNA, his personality comes from Aroi, not from Yisroi. And therefore, says Hashem, I'm going to reward him. He's a man of peace. Pinchas was a man of peace, and therefore I'm going to give him the gift of peace. He did this to stop the plague. He did this to stop Hashem killing the Jewish people. He did this to sanctify Hashem's name. His motive was pure. His motive was actually peaceful, although it needed an act of courage, an act of aggression, in order to bring this all to a halt. Now, of course, we always read Pinchas in the 3 weeks, and Pinchas has many lessons and many, many connections to the Beis Hamikdash and Mashiach and so on. But maybe the first is this exact thing, to make sure that we don't criticize other people for no reason, just because we like criticizing. We don't talk Lashon Hara of other people because we like talking Lashon Hara, because the Gemara tells us that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. And we just judge people baselessly, criticize them baselessly, and we do it because that's just what we like doing. The lesson of Pinchas is, no, you can never do that. You only do that only when your motives are completely pure and when morality calls for that. But otherwise, we have to work on not doing that. We have to work on not walking around with a spear, not criticizing and judging people, but fostering unity and avas chinam, baseless love, and that ultimately brings the geula shleima, it brings the redemption. Of course, there are other parts of Pinchas which are also very much connected with the Geula. First of all, we have the dividing of the land of Israel and the borders of the land of Israel, and which tribe took which part of Eretz Israel. What better thing can we read during the 3 weeks when we yearn for the Beis Hamikdash and the return of all Yidden to Eretz Israel? And of course, we also learn about all the korbanos, all the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash. Those that were brought every day, the Korban Tomei, those that were brought on Musaf and Shabbos, and those that were brought as Musaf throughout every Yontif. And of course, what better thing could there be when we ask Daven every day in our davening, Shibonei Beis Hamikdash, that the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt. As we say in the Musaf davening, that then we'll be able to bring Korbanos again, Kamitzvas Ritzoynecho, like the mitzvah of your will, we say to Hashem, we'll be able to reinstitute all this whole ceremony and whole ritual of connecting through Hashem through the Korbanos. So as we read Pinchas in the 3 weeks, although it's a time of mourning, but the Svarim tell us it's also a time to remember the Beis Hamikdash and to be hopeful and to believe b'munah shleima that Mashiach will come and there'll be a Beis Hamikdash once again. The Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi may take place b'mheira b'yomeinu. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.